This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Was this film the payoff to all the dog show sketches?
Oh my god, I know dogs. Was it the payoff? Yeah, it was the payoff. You're only the second person that's asked about that. No, they're not connected at all, but dog show, Will Ferrell and I wrote together, because I always wanted to do a sketch about dogs, because I do love dogs. So, but yeah, they have nothing to do with one another.
So, was it like having a good friend of yours write a script for you and deliver it to you and say, hey, I want you to make this, and they're actually going to make it? Like, did you believe him? Did you think it was a joke?
I did believe him, but let's see. Mike and I did this TV series in 2003 called Cracking Up that got canceled. It was so much fun working with him. I played the alcoholic bipolar mother, but the network didn't get behind the show, and they were trying to make Mike change it, and it was just not a good experience for Mike. And we shot 13 episodes, only two aired. So after that, Mike was like, ugh, you know. But he, you know, we became really good friends, and we would have dinner, and he was like, I'm going to write you a movie. And I was like, really? I was like, ah! If you have Mike White telling you they're going to write you a movie, I mean, it's just, please, I can't even tell you how excited I was. But I also didn't want to ask him about it or bother him too much, because I know how hard he works, and I knew kind of, you know, that the whole experience on Cracking Up was hard, that I thought if he does do this, it should just be fun and creative and no pressure, and, you know, you should just have fun writing. And so he would just every, you know, couple of months, it took a while, but he would go, I'm still working on that movie, and he wouldn't tell me what it was about. He told me a little, and then one day he just called me up after Christmas and was like, I have a script to send to you. So it's like a dream come true, you know? And yes, yeah, so I was like, open it up, it's like Year of the Dog by Mike White, and I got coffee at Starbucks, and I was like, page one! Peggy did it. So it's so exciting. Because I think there's a misconception that people think there's so much to choose from, or people go, why did you choose to do that? But really, it's not like there's so much choice of all these amazing female parts to choose from. So, I mean, there are certainly for some people in that small percentage of people, but it's not my situation. But so I was just really, really grateful.
Lately, you've been playing a role of the funny best friend.
Yeah.
What's it like to actually, like, step off from that and actually be the center of a movie like this, where you have to really go in a lot of different directions emotionally?
Yeah, it was hard. It's so different than comedy, because it's a lot quieter, and there were lots of scenes in the movie where it's like she cries, she breaks down, she sobs, she's devastated, she's beside herself with grief, and I'm like, oh my god, am I gonna? It was like all over the script, and so I just really wanted to do a good job for Mike. And it's also very technical, because you have all the crew waiting around, and they're like, you know, take your time. You know, when you're ready, let us know. Meaning when you're ready emotionally, you know. So you just have to quietly, there's all these people around, you have to go, like, go to these old parts in your head and then go, okay, I'm ready. And you don't want to keep people waiting, because they're all standing around like, waiting, like, come on, you know, money and time. So it's so different than comedy. It's just it's so different. It's so introverted and different. But I really enjoyed it, though. And it just felt like a challenge, and I really enjoyed it. I loved it.
Do you feel the weight? Do you feel the weight of the movie's success on your shoulders? Or?
Let me see. I don't feel that way, because I feel like I feel like Mike has so many fans, and it's his vision that I feel a part of. So it doesn't feel as much like something, you know, it's his creation, and I just help serve that. So it doesn't feel that way to me.
We had Lauren here, and she definitely, you know, was telling us that she feels it's a comedy. Like, she was talking about how so many movies she makes that she thinks they're comedies, like, people don't think they're comedies, and this is one of them. But you sound like you thought of this as a drama.
she thinks of it as a comedy.
Yeah,
Mike White describes it as a comedy that's not that funny. Which is funny, you know. Yeah, I guess to me, because my scenes are so serious, there's a lot of people, like, having jokes, you know, off of me, or but like I didn't feel like I did much comedy in the movie at all. So to me, it felt like a drama. Maybe I was in a drama, except for the supermarket scene where I wink at the guy. I felt like, ooh, that was like a little joke for me, where I'm like flirting with him and I look terrible, you know. But yeah, it's a comedy that's not that funny. That gets kind of dark comedy, I guess.
You do play the outrageous friend again in Sing Now or Forever Hold Your Peace.
Yeah.
Was it fun to just be completely vulgar for that?
Oh my god, that was so fun. How'd you know about that movie?
They sent us a screener of it.
They did? That's great. Yeah, that's Bruce Lutty. That was really fun. I play in that movie, I play this, I'm married to like this uptight Republican, and I'm this dirty kind of sexually, I say a lot of sexually inappropriate things to get a reaction, and it was fun. Yeah.
Did you make up a lot of that yourself, or what?
I made up. There was one, there was one, oh God, it's too dirty to talk about. There was one scene where my character's, we're supposed to get out of the car, and I'm supposed to say, like, I have a little, like, I'm itching myself. This is so dirty. But he wanted me to say, oh, I got some itching in the kitchen. And I was like, that sounds so, like, I don't know any girl that would be like, I got itching in the kitchen. So I was like, it'd be funny if she's trying to make her friend laugh, and she's like, my pussy sure is itchy today. So I said, please, could I say that? And he was like... I was kind of like horrified, and then I tested it for certain makeup. I was like, "Which do you think is funnier, itching in the kitchen or my pussy?" And they were like, definitely that one. But I felt like he thinks I'm like this dirty whore for even suggesting it. But the way I made it work was that just that she's trying to be, she's just funny and trying to make her friend laugh, and she's not really dirty, but. Whatever. Well, he used that. But God, did I fight for that. Yeah, I fought for that joke. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the overall film? Are you a big part of it?
The overall film for Mike's movie?
For
this movie? No, that was Bruce Lutty wrote and directed the original screenplay, and it was low budget. He put up his own money for it. I'm not sure the exact story, but I think he put up his own money. And it was like a real labor of love. We shot it for 30 days in the Hamptons, an entire feature film, and it was just really fun. And, you know, I'm so happy he's getting distribution and stuff. He's worked really hard to do that for like the last 2 years or something, so it's great. But it's his movie, his vision. I'm just a part of it.
Shifting gears.
Okay, so sure.
In your
back
personal life, you're a mom.
Yeah.
How's motherhood treating you? You have a 1 year old?
I have a 3.5 year old and a 2 year old.
Mm-hmm. So how's that going? What surprised you the most about being a mom?
I just love it so much. I feel like just really balanced, and I struggled for a long time in relationships to get to that point, so I kind of was at a certain point where I was like, I don't know if this is going to work out, and will I ever have kids, won't I? It didn't all come easy to me, because I have some people, I guess, meet people young, and they're like, yeah, maybe I'll think about having kids. It wasn't my experience. I kind of like crossed over at the last minute. So I just feel so lucky, and it just makes my life feel really full, and I feel a little bit like show business isn't like the be-all and end-all. Like when I was on Saturday Night Live, it was my whole life, but now I feel like I just feel more balanced. Like I feel so fulfilled in my home life that it feels like show business is like this extra fun plus. Like, wow, this is fun. Like, I just look at it as fun, and I feel lucky. But if I didn't have it, I still feel very fulfilled.
Are your kids like you? Are they starting to be comedians? What kind of personalities do they have?
My son is very funny. My son Nolan, it seems like a natural kind of, he's a funny little guy. And my daughter's more, she's very like a leader, and she's very verbal and articulate, and she's really cute. And they both have their different little personalities, but yeah, it's just so sweet, but so different.
Are you going to let them watch your old SNL?
Oh, maybe. They don't, let's see, they don't understand that. I think they have a rough idea of what I do because somebody told them. Like I said to my daughter, I said, do you know what I do? And she said, you're doing an actress. You know, I think she said that I do an actress, but she doesn't know what that means. But she saw me on a trailer once, or she saw a girl that looked like me, and she was like, is that Molly? Like, so she refers to somebody she sees as, that's Molly. Like, Molly is that actress, but I'm her mommy.
Laura was telling us how she can't go anywhere now because all of her travel is determined by her kids. Do you get to go anywhere these days?
Yeah, that's true. I take my kids with me because they're so little. She has her son's a little older. Ellery, her son's older. But my kids are still really little, so I bring them everywhere with me. Because I don't have to pull. They're just in preschool, and my son's not even in school, so they come everywhere. They travel with me. They love staying in hotels. And personally, I really like it because I feel less distracted because I just come to work and then play with them. Whereas when I'm in my home, I'm more distracted. I'm like, oh, I gotta organize that. And I feel more present sometimes when I'm working, actually, strangely enough, because everything is just so simple, you know? And they love it. They love traveling.
As an SNL alum, do you guys still keep in touch, and are you able to tap that network for parts and roles?
Yeah. I do still talk to so many of those people, and a lot of them are really good friends, and but I wouldn't like just go, oh, I could just rely on them, but it's really nice if a friend calls you and, hey, can you do my part in my movie, or it does happen, and it's really nice.
What
When you look back on SNL, is there a skit or two that you miss being able to do?
Let's see here. I love doing Dog Show with Will. That was easy and fun, and we had these crazy dogs, and it was so crazy, and we wrote it together, so we would just laugh when we were writing it. That was an easy sketch, but then there's some where I'm like, oh, some of them are technically hard, and comedy's great when it works, but when it doesn't work, it's like, oh, trudging through mud, so it's hard. So some stuff I don't miss, because it was hard to make them all work, you know, sometimes you do them and they bomb, and, you know. You just hear crickets, you know, no laughter. But Will and I would always have a theory, like, even if it was just bombing, if there's, like, nobody laughing, we would just commit harder and harder and just still really commit, you know, just as an exercise for ourselves. So, like that.
What was your strongest memory of any of the celebrity hosts that were there? Any, like, memories that you have?
Let's see. Gwyneth Paltrow was really great. She was one that was just like, she's just come and she wanted to have fun. She had no other, like, agenda, because there were some people that really want to prove that they're funny, but the people that do the best are the ones that are just want to have fun, and it's no big deal. They're not trying to prove themselves. They're just having fun. She was a great one for that. She was really funny naturally, and she can do these characters, but she just was, like, a natural comedian. I found her great.
Would you host?
Who was the worst celebrity?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. If they asked me, I will. Yeah. I would love to. Yeah.
And who was the worst?
Who was the worst? Oh God, I couldn't say. But there are some that would come in that people would. They come in with their own writers, and the writers on the show do not like that, because it's like they're like, ugh. So that is not a good way to start off, because people
anyone
just get
you can
like.
Name?
No, I can't.
Were you there for Steven Seagal, or was that before you?
That was before. I wasn't there, no.
But when you could, do you watch the show? Watch the show at all now?
I do, yeah.
Do you ever watch it and, like, maybe just because we would see it, we might not recognize something, but you can see, like, oh my gosh, they want to kill that guy, or whoever the host is, or maybe.
Yeah.
Or you can tell just by.
Oh, yeah. I like watching Good Night, because my husband's like, why do you always like to watch a Good Night? Because I'll, like, slow it down for, like, Good Night. Because you can read so much into, like, oh, she must be bummed and she was hardly in the show tonight. These two, you see, they've never stood on the same side of the stage. I look at that and I'm like, you know, those two do not like. Because they've never won. Like, there's a whole show going on, and just like, good night, everybody.
So it really is about, because I've always thought that, like, when you watch it at night, that there's a whole other thing going on in the background that you could tell when the cast really likes you, because everyone's hugging and having a good time, and there's other times when the host is like, just right there.
Yeah, so. You can tell, or you can tell kind of how the cast feels about the host, because sometimes you can tell if it's like, yeah, you can see, or sometimes it's just like nobody's even near them. You know what I mean? You can see a lot by those good nights.
Who's your favorite performer on the cast this season you're watching?
Oh my God! Oh, there's so many. There's so many great ones. I couldn't say because I know a lot, so I would never want to erase.
Some of your favorite. Who stands out?
Oh my God!
Like?
There's so many. I don't want to say because I don't know about it.
When you were on, was there an added, was the attitude different on set when you would have a guest host and it was clearly there for ratings versus someone who, you know, maybe naturally funny? You know, like,
oh, right. Is there a difference between somebody who's there for ratings and the. There were certain people that the cast would just be like, yeah, so-and-so's coming, and they're just excited to write for them because they're so great. And then there's some weeks where they're like, they don't even turn in their good stuff because they're kind of like, you know, yeah, there's a lot of that. Or there's certain people that are high profile that, you know, it'll be a big show, so they'll put their best thing because it'll be highly rated because they're very hot and they want to get a good piece in with that star. There's a lot of that.
How does the cast react when an alumni comes back? Like an Alec Baldwin or a Steve Martin or someone like that.
Yeah. People are usually really excited. Like, Alec Baldwin is just somebody that writers love to write for because he makes stuff so much better and he's great, great to write for. So mostly those performers are so great to write for. They get excited. And they also understand comedy, so they're good to work with because they get it and they'll be helpful. But not all of them. Can't say any names, though.
30 Rock you watch the show?
Did I watch the show? I just did a little part on it, actually. Oh, you said I did. Oh, you.
Well, I was wondering if it feels. Do you watch the show yourself?
I do.
Does it feel like you're sort of watching, you know, your history?
Yes, it does. Yeah, because I watched the other one, and I was like, this doesn't look at all familiar. The other one? Yeah, I was like, what? And this is a pretty show, but it doesn't... But Tina's show, look, that's actually what it looks like. That's what it seems like with the writers and the thing. And this, that is exactly... That's much more what it... That's exactly more of what it's like.
Do you think it's more... it's much more accurate than she's letting on, even though it's a comedy?
Much more accurate than she's letting on.
Like a lot of the situations that arise...
No, I mean some of them are silly and made up, like but some of them are accurate, but then some of it's just part of the show. I don't know. I feel like the writers thing. I heard they're all like I was just fucking around, and that thing feels very familiar, like the writers' room stuff. But the whole like the boss and her, that seems a little I don't know if I had that experience or anything.
And
what was
your experience like on the show?
It was great. It was just really easy. I shot my part in a day, and it was really great to see Tina and meet her little girl and see Jeff, her husband. She's just amazing. And if anybody could get a show on the air that's like well written in front of you, it would be Tina. You know, she can do that. Of all people, I was like, oh, she'll do it. She'll figure it out. It's such a hard thing to crack to like do that, and she is doing it and doing such a good job, and she's amazing. And Alex, so nice.
I have one quick question.
Okay.
This movie, sure. I know. Brad Pitt was involved with this. Were you there when he came to set? How involved was he with you and your character? Did he give you notes?
I was. He came to the set. No, he didn't give me notes. He wasn't like that hands-on a producer. But I was eating lunch one day with my kids, and I had this Irish nanny who was helping with my kids that day. And we were sitting there eating with one of the producers who runs Brad Pitt's company, and he came and sat down at our table. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, my God. And then I see my nanny, like, you see her suddenly realize, like, it's Brad Pitt. She's like, like elbowing me, and it's kind of funny to watch like a superstar like that, because you know we're in a tent eating lunch and you feel like a wave of like people start to get in a flurry and they try to act like they're not noticing, but it's very crazy because people start to look and they act kind of weird and then people come up to him. But he really handles it really well. He's really nice and as normal as he can be, considering he creates like a tornado wherever he walks with like a raucous of people getting their feathers ruffled. But I felt really distracted because it was a day where I had to do the scene with Peter sitting on the bench, and I'm like, I like you. And I was like doing the scene, I'm like, this is a pretty dramatic scene, but I'm like, but Brad Pitt is watching over there. You know what I mean? Like, it's very distracting. I mean, I find it incredible. I find it so distracting.
He wasn't there that often. He just came for
He was there for a while, and I was like, get out of here. No, he was so nice.
Was he with his family or just him?
He was just by himself. With his motorcycle, his hat, you know. But he seems sweet and just very, really nice, normal, supportive.